Welcome to the Realize Soul podcast with Tessa Alburn. Receive a healthy dose of soothing vibes, heartfelt stories, and sweet soul wisdom for thriving outside of the conventional world.
Hello, and welcome to Realize Soul. I'm Tessa Alburn. And today I'm going to be sharing something around intuition and one of the ways that we tend not to listen to it. A number of years ago, I was visiting my sister, and she was down in the southern part of the state of Arizona, and there's this wonderful mountain range there called the Huachucas, and which borders Mexico. And so it's that arid, dry, rocky, like really cool rock formations and stuff. And I just fell in love with this whole environment when I went to visit her for the first time out there. I'd been living in the city back east in New York. And so seeing this kind of environment was really startling and very, very pleasing to my senses. While I was with her, we decided we were going to get out and go hiking. I was an avid hiker. I always went hiking on the weekends. I got out of the city. I went out with the Appalachian Mountain Club and whoever else I could go hiking with. And just loved to be outdoors, breathing the air, connecting with nature, feeling the earth beneath my feet. And so it was natural for me to want to encourage her to come with me on a hike. And we hadn't really done anything like that in a long time. I think we'd probably done a fair amount of driving, like go here to this little place and see this little feature. You know, we'd done a little bit of sightseeing together, sometimes with friends, sometimes with someone else. But we really hadn't done anything like that on our own for quite some time, maybe since we were wee little girls. And we took off and we just started driving, and she had kind of an idea, I think, of where, you know, the general area where we wanted to go to. But we were pretty relaxed about it, and I was pretty, you know, confident of my hiking skills and my navigating skills. I was a pretty good navigator. And we found this trail kind of backed up to this horse property where there were horse rides and things of that nature. And we were the only people there. It was already pretty warm in the day because we didn't start out early. There's just something in my family. Whenever we get together to do anything, it takes us a long time to get out the door. I don't know if you can relate to that, but that's just one of the signatures of my family. And so we get there, and it's just lovely country. And there's this wonderful small mountain, part of the range, that just was so inviting. Kind of reddish, beigeish rocks, lots of cool shapes, that had all the sandstone that had been weathered down and other kinds of rocks. We set off on our hike. We had plenty of water and probably some snacks or something, if memory serves correctly. The thing we hadn't counted on was like the difficulty of the trail. It looked so easy. And I really had this thing inside me. I was very, very compelled to climb this as far as we could at any rate. I was not a danger seeker by any stretch of the imagination, but I did like to challenge myself. And she was feeling confident and maybe trying to be a great host. And so we were sort of egging each other on and going up this mountain, taking our time, but we were noticing that the trail was getting kind of challenging to walk up. So pretty soon we're like holding on to things, and then we're, you know, taking smaller steps, and then the trail is narrowing after some time, and we're seeing a few little animal scat. So we knew that the trail was used for something, but we weren't really seeing many footprints. And we felt confident enough that we were having such a good time. It was just a beautiful day. And when we did look behind us, we were having just these wonderful views of the valley below us. And so we kept going, and then we kept going, and we kept going some more. And eventually, we got up to this little rocky area. I say little because the area that we could spread out at this spot, like, it leveled a little bit, but you couldn't go far. So I'm saying it was little. We could go a little bit this way, a little bit that way, and a kind of around it. But that was it. Like, we couldn't go more up and over it. And then it was a little bit mysterious as to where the trail went next. So we stood up there for a while. It was a great time for us to chill and rest and drink a lot of water. We'd been sipping water, of course, all the way up. You always want to do that if you're ever in the desert. And we're looking down and we're just having these wonderful moments, and then we're like, you know, that was kind of hard getting up here. after we'd rested and kind of come to our senses, I wonder what that's going to be like. We started to think about, what's that going to be like on our way back down? And it had just gotten, you know, I mean, we were literally helping each other, you know, give me your hand, come this way, and I'll pull you a little bit. And the rock, as we were climbing up, was crumbling beneath us. You know, we're talking about really dry, soft rock. And the more we sat there, the more we thought about it, it just seemed like we were in trouble. We didn't know what we were going to do. That was an amazing feat that we actually got to the top of this part of the mountain. And it might have been like 800 feet in elevation or something, but, you know, which is not extreme, but still, it's up there. And there didn't appear to be like some big open trail. Once we got there, we kept thinking, there's got to be a trail. This is a trailhead. And so obviously we must have gotten onto a deer path or a bunny path, but not an actual maintained trail, if there even was one at this place. So we're talking about it. What are we going to do? And I remember my sister being pretty clear. She was like, we're just going to go back down the same way because we knew what it was. But the more we thought about it, it was scary. There wasn't much trail. And when you're going up a trail like that, it's a little bit easier than going down, because going down, your weight is distributed differently and it's harder to hold on to things. Plus, it's harder to see where to place your feet. And neither one of us were like rock climbers. It's not like we had a bunch of carabiners and lines and things like that with us. So we were looking at the light and thinking, geez, if it took us that long to get up here, how long is it going to take us to get down without hurting ourselves or slipping and literally just falling off the side of something? And we realized that time was, you know, the clock was ticking, so to speak, with the light, and we were trying to figure out how long it's going to be. There won't be enough light to make it all the way. We only have so much water. We know we can't, like, go crazy here. We need to get back down, and there's no one else to count on, just us. And I just knew, like, the more we talked about going back down, I was like, no, we can't do that. We just can't go that way. We cannot do it. It is too dangerous. And I just felt it inside of me. Now, in my family, my role was usually the peacekeeper. I was the one who was going to stay calm. This is later on when I became an adult, definitely not when I was a child. But as a young adult, and I was the peacekeeper, I was the one to stay calm and not get involved and not stir anything up and always go along and always give way, this, that, and the other. And my habit of wanting to keep the peace was starting to kick in. Like, I didn't want to argue with her. But she was scared, and she did not want to go somewhere we hadn't been. And I had kind of hinted at that, like, let's go over here and maybe there's a better trail, because that obviously isn't it. And she just wasn't interested. And I had to dig really deep and find a way to tell her that we really can't do that. What we really needed to do was find another way down that was going to be safe for us. We needed a new, safer, and faster way down. And I could just feel inside myself that there was one. I knew there was another way. I didn't know where it was, how we would find it, but I knew there was another way. It just wasn't going to be safe to go the way that we had come. So the first thing I did was really looked her right in the eye. I think I might have even taken her by the shoulders and said, we have to do this. You know, it was like a big moment for us looking into each other's eyes and me really standing in my truth and telling her that the very least what we needed to do was look around at our options and then make a decision. We knew that we also had to trust our bearings, right? That we knew where the car was, that if we went further down and around on some other trail, that we could find our way back to where we had parked. I mean, we were in the wilderness, and it was very possible that we could lose sight of the way that we came and we would need to come back around the mountain. So all these things were going on at once, but for me, what I knew was we had to find another way. Going back was not the option. And I risked in that moment, like upsetting her, getting her mad at me. And also I felt this tremendous responsibility for her well-being in that I was the one that was an experienced hiker. I was the one who'd been out many, many, many times in new territory. I was also older, right? So somehow like all that pressure built up, but because I had that connection deep inside myself and knowing that there is another way and really anchoring to that and believing that and that we just had to find it, that is how I was able to stand in my truth. And that's what happened. We started to look around. She was like, okay, but. And I found some sort of passage, and I was like, this is more hopeful. But it was like, once we went over this other uprising, there was no way for us to see where we had come from. So we also had to really just keep trusting that we knew what we were doing, that we knew which way was north and which way was east, etc. And we came to this slope. It was a gentler slope with a lot of trees on it. It was the northern side. I remember just knowing that the inside there was no trail, by the way, anywhere we went. But there was this more gently sloping, tree-lined side of the mountain. And I just felt it. I was like, this is the way we get down. We're going to be able to go through this forested area. It wasn't like a jungle or anything. You just had to go through trees and it was on an angle. And I convinced her and we started going down. And of course, all the voices in my head at that time, once I made that commitment, that's when my inner critic really kicked in. Because I was like, what have I done? What if I hurt my sister? What if we this, that, and the other, you know, break something? And it was, the ground was a little bit loose. We were sliding a little bit, but we had things to hold on to, which was really amazing. We had all these trees. So we were able to hold onto the trees and go from tree to tree and down, down, down. And then eventually the slope got less and less and less and less. And we were able to run down the side of the mountain through the trees out onto the open canvas of the desert floor. And then work our way back around the base, the foothill of the mountain, to our vehicle. And we had plenty of water. We got there in plenty of time, so light was not an issue. But I think we were mostly worn out from the concern, the fear, the what ifs, right? But this experience together bonded us in a certain way, certainly. But for me, it was about my intuition, that knowing that I do know that there's a better way. There must be. It's not just this one little, tiny little deer trail. So leaning into that, trusting myself and saying, let's look at this, assessing the situation as we went and then making a decision and choosing it, right? Committing to it. We're both going. So there was no option for us to split up. That was not going to happen. And we made it down safely. And we then had a wonderful memory to cherish. So I want you to just take a moment and think about a time where you knew something, you felt it inside, but maybe you gave up on yourself or you backed down with someone else too soon, right? You gave in to their opinions or their authority even, but you were feeling it inside yourself. How is it that you could now start paying attention to those times where you tend to do that, where you start to back down, and instead begin to stand up for what your intuition is telling you? What's it going to take for you to do that? You see, the soul needs to know that you're listening, and it is directly connected to your intuition. And when you listen to your intuition and you follow through on it, then you're rewarded greatly. Now, it's not always some big, momentous, scary thing. Sometimes it's the little things, like it's time for me to make that phone call, or it's time for me to reach out to this person, or it's time for me to check my mailbox, right? It can be little things that you could be dismissing, or you're giving in to somebody else or somebody else's need. And instead, I want you to start listening and following through on those inner callings. And it's okay if they're not always like great. Like if you follow what you think is your intuition, then you find out it's not your intuition, that's okay too. Because developing your intuition is a practice. But you've got to start, and you want to be consistent. You don't want to let other people convince you otherwise. The world needs you. It needs your individuality. It needs your uniqueness. And it needs your soul expression. More importantly, you need to express your own soul. And when your intuition is speaking to you, that is your soul. So I want to encourage you to listen and act on it. And if this is something that you really struggle with, please reach out to me by going to realizedsoul.com and connecting with me. A couple different ways to connect with me there. And I want to thank you for listening today. And you are invited to come back for more soothing vibes and inspiration for thriving outside of the conventional world. May you connect with who you truly are and honor it. Bye-bye for now, and aho.
Thank you for listening to Realize Soul. If you love what you heard, please share us with your friends. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast directory.